President of IAC Payments. Andrew, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So IAC is a player that enables payment acceptance for nonprofits, and nonprofits cover a wide landscape and probably make money in a variety of different ways, and those are the kinds of things we're going to talk about today. Andrew, though, you're the expert here, so why don't you tell us first, what, from a nonprofit perspective, do you focus on, and what is it that you do to provide services to those enterprises?
Yeah, certainly. So at IATS, we are a payment provider focused exclusively on nonprofits. So we've been going for around 20 years now and have about over 10,000 customers and growing. And really, what we focus on is providing a platform for our nonprofit customers around the world, not just in here in North America, but with a payment platform that covers all the different various methods of fundraising that they have, whether that's a face-to-face, if it's online, if it's through recurring giving programs. We work to support our customers across the whole range and gamut of the ways that they are currently looking to raise money from donors.
So clearly that suggests a very different operating process from the more traditional merchant and merchant environment. Maybe you could give us a little bit of insight about the differences, but specifically how that then impacts the business of payments for them.
Yes. Nonprofits are quite complex in the way that they manage payments. So, as an example of a for-profit environment like a restaurant or a retail store, they're very, I don't want to use the word limited, but they're very focused in the way that they accept payments, either it's in a terminal or perhaps an online store. Whereas a nonprofit is going to be accepting funds and donations from a multiple different methods and often using multiple different software providers and technology providers to raise those funds. So if you imagine that they're using maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 different technology providers, or indeed as we would call them ISVs, to raise money, as a result they probably have, in some circumstances, the same amount of technology or payment providers that underpin those technology platforms. So what they're really looking to do is try to find ways to sort of standardize the way that they process transactions, because if you're using multiple different platforms and multiple different payment providers, as a result of that, there's obviously a lot higher costs and a lot more opportunity to create reconciliation problems. So really where we come in is provide them with a single platform that actually works to integrate and has integrated with over 100 of these ISVs or technology partners in the nonprofit space, so they can standardize their payment platform across every single piece of the way that they raise money.
Got it. And so these different platforms provide different types of capabilities. So membership might be one, merchandise sales might be others, donations might be another. Is that where the complexity arises?
Yeah, that's right. So if you think of a mid-size charitable organization in the United States, they may be, raising money. They might have multiple different auctions throughout the year. They might also be running a peer-to-peer fundraising event where they have a walkathon or they're raising money through a run using a technology platform that supports peer-to-peer fundraising. They also perhaps have recurring giving programs or are taking donations face-to-face on the street, which is becoming increasingly more popular. And each one of those transactions has a different method, has a different process that is required. And that's where we come in, because we work with the independent and the individual technology providers and partners to support those transactions.
And, I can't help but think this is the time of the year when the phone rings and people call and ask for donations, and they're taking payment over the phone in some cases, or in other cases they're asking if they can send a card, a pledge card for the individual to fill out. I mean, that's I guess another channel.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously now in the last quarter of the year is a huge time for donations, as people look to give gifts before the end of the tax year. So again, there are lots of ways that organizations are trying to optimize that, and by reaching out to either loyal donors or new donors to acquire donors before the end of the fiscal year. So yes, It really is incredibly interesting and complex with the number of different ways that charities are looking to raise money. At the end of the day, they're incredibly resourceful. They're always experimenting with new ways of accepting donations and really testing the new technologies that are out there to raise money. Are those generating significant volumes right now? Things like text to give, mobile giving, increasing trend. Certainly the volumes aren't replacing things like direct mail right now, but certainly they're increasing and they're interesting enough that nonprofits are investing in them. And we obviously need to be there to support that.
You know, I think about the unfortunate disasters that we've seen around the world over the last year, and certainly recently with earthquakes and hurricanes here closer to home. That must present another set of challenges, because you've got, you're mobilizing people to give money in a concentrated period of time, so donations, hopefully, are pouring in. Are there other challenges like that when it comes to payments processing that nonprofits need to be paying particular attention to?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the rise of those kind of tragedies and events in the last few years, and specifically in this year in 2017, has led to the need for an organization to be able to very, very quickly and in a very scalable manner take donations from multiple different streams, essentially taking donations from wherever the donor is and wherever the donor wants to donate. And so if you look at certainly the hurricanes, we saw a tremendous amount of money that was donated online post those disasters, and specifically since the tsunami back in the 2000s, I think it was 2004, where an enormous amount of money was raised online from those disasters. And it's because donors will often they'll often go online to make those donations. So yes, you're right, it does pose very specific challenges that nonprofits need to resolve, and they do so by working with their technology partners and payment providers like ourselves to help them provide those scalable solutions.
What about in an online world now, the acceptance of alternative payments? Is that something that nonprofits are now reaching out and proactively asking to have as part of their payment portfolio?
I think, as I said before, they're very resourceful, and they're very innovative, and they're always interested in using or trying out the latest and greatest. And so we talk a lot through educating our technology partners and our customers, what those are. For example, the increase of mobile wallets. Mm-hmm. A lot of our customers are trying to implement those just to see what the take up is. I think it's really that they love to experiment with different ways of accepting donations, and certainly while we have seen instances of some very adventurous organizations accepting bitcoins, we're certainly seeing organizations wanting to adopt new methods but not necessarily trying to revamp their whole systems to support them.
Well, and also attract a different donor base that wants to use those kinds of digital tools to donate versus someone who's always written a check, God forbid, but it's still money and it still goes into the organization and or has a recurring payment set up on their credit card. It's different strokes for different folks, and I suppose in the business of operating a nonprofit, you have to be flexible and accommodate many preferences.
Oh, 100%. In fact, if you look at overall giving in the United States, as an example, we have very good stats on that. $390 billion was donated to nonprofit organizations in the U.S. last year. And whilst that sounds like a big number, interestingly enough, it's remained relatively flat in the last, say, 5 years as a percentage of GDP. So that number, that absolute number, hasn't grown. However, what we are seeing is a tremendous rise in the volume or the change of way that people are giving. So, online giving, as an example, grew 10% last year. We believe that mobile giving accounted for about 15% of those transactions. So as millennials become become more prevalent and wanting to support organizations more and more, then they're using the ways that they understand and that are prevalent in their lives. Whereas, you know, direct mail is a historic way organizations would generate the bulk of their funds. Now we're seeing millennials just, you know, really not getting involved in direct mail. They're much more focused on giving through their mobile devices, through text to give, and through online donations, and through the increases of things like crowdfunding, which is becoming extremely prevalent now in the nonprofit sector.
What about the security question and fraud? How are nonprofits managing that, and specifically, how are you helping them do that?
Well, I think just generally, it's such a hot topic right now in every sector, and specifically for the nonprofit sector, you know, because, you know, they're very, very sensitive. Nonprofits are very sensitive to the security issues because they work hard to acquire new donors. The last thing that they're going to want is risk, you know, their reputation and the relationship with their donors, or indeed, you know, future donations by having a breach of any sort. So it's a very high focus area for them. You know, again, our goal is to support the nonprofit and to support their mission and to support their donors, ultimately. So preventing fraud is essential for us, and it's essential for building the long-term relationships with our customers. You know, we take it very seriously because, you know, as an example, while other payment providers perhaps bundle fraud tools into their solutions, we actually provide those as standard and at no extra cost. We understand that the charities themselves are particularly vulnerable, especially in the online world, to fraud. So we want to do everything that we can to support them and to prevent any fraud that might exist.
Are there growing concerns about exploiting this channel by the fraudsters, given all the crazy identity theft and concerns over synthetic IDs and using nonprofits as a way to test the authenticity of credentials before they move on to something else and hurt the nonprofit in the process?
Yeah, well, we see it now to a certain extent. And many of the systems and infrastructure that we have as an organization is to counter those kind of behaviors. So, you know, the sad fact is that it happens right now. It is likely to continue to happen, and it's up to us and providers like us to make sure that we stay ahead of the game and we protect our nonprofit customers.
So looking out at 2018, we're approaching the end of 2017, shockingly. What is your forecast for technology with respect to payments and nonprofits? What are you seeing? What do you hope to see?
Well, there's a couple of things now. You know, I think there's definitely, and in no particular order, I think there's a globalization of philanthropy is a term that I like to use. You know, we're seeing methods of fundraising that exist in other parts of the world that are being adopted. So if you look at the rise of face-to-face fundraising that has been prevalent in Europe for, you know, for many, many years, is now where it's coming over the shores, and we're seeing it over here in North America. Recurring donations is an example. We talked briefly about that, but, you know, recurring donations or monthly giving is a prime form of revenue for many charities in the United Kingdom, which is where I'm from. You know, U.S. charities are now adopting that because they see it's a fantastic way to generate repeatable revenue. You know, it creates a different challenge for a nonprofit because potentially you're providing, you know, very large volumes, or you're having to support large volumes of smaller transactions. And so we have to work very closely with our technology providers to make sure that the nonprofits have an infrastructure to do that. You know, we have some charities that are processing 300,000-500,000 transactions on a monthly basis just through recurring gifts. That gives you an example of the scale of those kinds of very mature programs. Wow. And I think, as a follow-on to that, I think the second thing is, you know, what we call the long tail of donation. So mm-hmm. a lot of charities are seeing success generating, you know, generations of smaller dollar amounts, but on a much larger scale. So if you look at event-based fundraising, you know, the things like walkathons that I mentioned briefly, you know, that is a fantastic way of leveraging not only your donor base, but your donor base's network to generate small volumes of gifts, but on a much larger scale. So, you know, we're going to continue to see the growth of online methods like crowdfunding, As well as obviously the increase of mobile payments and things like text-to-giving. So again, you know, we work very closely and invest in those technologies with our partners to make sure that our nonprofits can leverage those things when they're ready to do so.
Andrew, this has been a fascinating conversation about an aspect of the world where payment technology plays a really vital role and a very important role on many levels. Thank you very much for your great insights today. It was a pleasure speaking.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me on, and thanks to your listeners.
Thank you.